Good morning. Welcome. It's been extended. If you're visiting with us, we're certainly glad you're here. As Glenn mentioned, I'm preaching today, but I am not the preacher here. We have Ryan Goodwin, which is a very good man that preaches with us, and Alan Greeley shares part-time with him, and he is very good. If you get an opportunity, you should come in back and hear them. This morning, I want to talk to you about the heart. In fact, I want to thank Brian for singing that song for me, Purer in Heart. Our hearts will beat an average of 142,400 times every day. And we don't want our heart to take a vacation or to even take a day off. We don't even want it to take a coffee break and skip a few beats. We want it to keep going. Doctors understand the importance of the heart, and they came up with 10 things that we should do to help our hearts. And most of these you know, but I'm just going to recount a few since they apply to me. First one doesn't. Thou shalt stop smoking. Number one, don't smoke. But number two, thou shalt control thy blood pressure. Thou shalt reduce dietary cholesterol. Thou shalt reduce dietary saturated fat. No more hamburgers. Thou shalt increase aerobic exercise. Okay. You do these 10 things, and your heart will probably stay fit for your whole life. They know this. Well, the same principles apply to our spiritual heart. The condition of our spiritual heart impacts everything that we do in our lives every day. See, our heart is just not a physical organ that pumps blood for us, but it's our inner man, our innermost being. It is referred to as the heart of our intellect, the heart of our emotions, the heart of our feelings. It's the heart of our soul. It's the heart of our spirit. It's the center and the essence of our spiritual life. Just as a body without a heart is lifeless, so too spiritually the heart without God stops. The heart is the stuff of life. So today I want to look at 11 words that impact our heart. In fact, they sum up the pursuit of our spiritual life. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Isn't that our goal? Isn't that what we want to do? To see God? Well, what do we need to do? We need to have a happy heart. Jesus isn't talking about our physical heart here that's being free from defects of cholesterol and saturated fat and lack of exercise. But he is talking about our spiritual heart, our mind, to be exercised and to be pure. I want to take a look at a few of the key words, and then I've got 5 steps for us to consider to be pure in heart. The first word is blessed. Blessed is happy, fortunate. Sometimes we think that happiness is an experience of elation, fueled by feelings and emotions. But consider what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 33, which I call that passage, Why Worry? Jesus says, as we read through that verse, that it's inward content, unaffected by our surroundings, that is true happiness. It's being gracious for what God has given us. I can only express it like this. To be blessed isn't a superficial feeling of well-being based on our circumstances, but it's the understanding of contentment based on the fact that one's life is right with God. Pure. Pure has a couple of definitions. Most scholars say it's to make pure by cleaning dirt, filth, or contaminations like metal being refined by fire. And second to that definition is to be unmixed, unadulterated, having no double allegiance. So a pure heart is genuine. It's pure. It's authentic. It's real. It's not counterfeit, and it's not a hypocrite. A pure heart has no impurity, has no mixture, has no division. It's genuine. It's the true article. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 7 in verse 1, "Since we have these promises, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of a reverence of God." The pure in heart isn't just clean from impurities, as our definition said, but it's also clean from double-mindedness. It's a single intent, a single focus. And in our instances today, it's a focus on God and the kingdom and his righteousness. James writes in 4 and verse 8, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Jesus would say it this way, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." A pure heart wants to be close to God. In fact, it wants to be Christ-like, beatitude. We don't have to look up and to see if God's watching us, because we have a personal relationship with God, and we only need to look in our heart and see how we're doing. Well, the last word I want to look at is the heart. Metaphorically, it signifies the inner person, the control center of man's mind. It is the intellect, our understanding, our reason, our logic. It's our emotions, desire, grief, joy, and our will, our intentions and our desires, the desires of our heart. The heart is totally the inner person. It's the seat of our character. Do we have a pure heart? I like this little story. It's the freeway interchange where all emotions and prejudices and wisdom converge. Smack. That's us. I like it this way. It's a train yard where all those emotions, all those prejudices, all those convictions, all those desires are put in the track. And the engineer comes and puts them down the right track they're supposed to go. It's to keep it pure. It's to keep us on track. It's the innermost being that shapes our lives and our actions. Psalms 4 and verse 23, the psalmist says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything that you do." Solomon wrote it like this, and I like this one. "As water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man." The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Now I have 5 steps that I want to go through. And you might have others, but these are 5 that I've chosen to help us have a pure heart. 1, the very first one, is to understand that God knows your heart. The real condition of your heart cannot be hidden. God knows all things. In Psalms 44 and verse 21, the psalmist said, "Wouldn't God have figured this out? We can't hide things from him. He knows the secrets of our heart." Our life is an open book to God. In fact, in Revelations, he says our life is being written down in the book of life. Nothing we can do is out of his sight. What he sees, what he sees in us, what we do, what our motives are, what our intentions, he already knows what we're going to do. We're an open book. In 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, it's written, "Serve God with a pure heart. Be happy to serve him, because the Lord knows what's in every man's heart. He knows what you're thinking, and he examines every heart to see through every motive." So I know why David said, "Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart." We can't hide from God. In fact, when we try to hide from God, we deceive ourselves and we deceive others. We have an unclean heart. An impure heart is blind to our own hypocrisy and double-mindedness. As I stated, the problem of the heart is the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And we know this because in a few chapters later, Jesus addresses the Pharisees in the chapter of woe. When he tells the Pharisees, "You look good on the outside," in Matthew 23, 25 through 26, "but your inside is defiled and sinful." He tells them, "You clean the outside of the cup, but you don't clean the inside." So he says, clean both. Clean the inside and the outside. Jeremiah states, "The heart is deceitful, and it's a wicked above all things, and beyond cure. Who could understand it? But I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward man according to his conduct and according to his deeds." Even God said to Jeremiah, the heart is wicked, and it's beyond cure, a terminal disease. The heart is so sick, no medication can heal it. In fact, every part of us, what we think, what we feel, and how we behave, is a problem. We're all sinners, and we need God. The problem isn't the sin in the world, it's the sin in our hearts. We don't sin because of our surroundings. We sin because what's in our hearts. But there is an answer for a pure heart. In Psalms 24, verse 3 and 4, the psalmist writes, "Who can ascend to the hill of God? Or who may stand in his holy place?" And he answers it, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, and who has not sworn deceitfully." So the first step in coming to God is to realize he already knows we have a dirty heart. He's already confessed it. So don't be surprised to go to God with your unclean heart. He's already seen it. Number two, ask God to give you a new heart. When the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, sinned and he was going to send them into exile, he'd already prepared to receive them back. And in Ezekiel 11 and verse 19, he wrote, "I will give them an undivided heart and put in them a new spirit. I will remove from them their heart of stone and I will give them a heart of flesh." God will give us a new heart. He will bring forth the transformation to make us from dirty to pure, a sinful heart for a clean heart. That's why David wrote in Psalms 51 and verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and anew a steadfast spirit in me." God can purify our heart, and we receive God's cleansing by faith, and through faith, God purifies each and every one of us and makes us new. God will not turn away from us or ignore us. He wants us to come. In fact, he sent Jesus to die on the cross, and he allowed his blood to be poured out to make our hearts pure. Step three, accept the trials and hardships of God's cleansing fire. Let God turn up the heat and expose the impurities and cleanse your heart. As I said, fire cleans and brings purity. So as we go through fires, just as precious metal does, it comes out pure. God accepts us the way we are. But he doesn't want us to stay that way. He's going to allow us to be tried. He wants us to be pure, and he wants us to be pure in heart. Therefore, he purifies our hearts by these fiery furnaces of trials. In 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, Peter writes, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. These trials are only a test to show that your faith is strong and pure. It is being tested by these fires to be purified as gold. Your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery fire trials, it will be much more praise for you and glory and honor in the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." We will be tested and we will have trials. And when we come through them, we will be stronger. We need to stand firm. What difficulty or hardships are we enduring? And there's many, as was said in the prayer this morning. Do we run away from the fire? I say nay. Stand and let God test you. He will strengthen you. Look at Philippians 2 and verse 13. He will not leave his work undone, which he has started in you. He wants us to be pure. He wants us to be pure in heart. Step 4, live your life with a pure heart. Take the necessary action so you will have a holy life just like Jesus. Don't let yourself become a passive bystander. Don't sit on the sidelines, but cooperate with God and understand what his will is for you. This is your turn to take action. Let's get busy. 2 Timothy, Paul writes in verse 2, be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. As we often say, get in the book. Learn what God wants you to have a pure heart. Now, sometimes we'll need to run away. In fact, sometimes no isn't the answer. We need to run. And as we run away from those desires or those sins, run toward God. Pursue God with all your heart. Give him those trials. Turn it over to him. Don't be ashamed to be a Christian. You are a follower of Christ. And step 5, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't lose sight of the goal, because the pure in heart shall see God. In 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3, John would write this. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and we will not be as we've been made to be made known. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. This body we won't have. It'll go away. But when we see Jesus, we will be pure. We will be like him. Now, those are our 5 steps. And if you're a Christian here, you're probably already working on those. If you're not, you say, I'm not so sure about that, Mike. I don't know about all this inner stuff with God. Well, we only need to turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For Paul writes, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. That's God. Being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and the Godhead, so they are without excuse. He goes on to say that because although they knew God, they did not glorify God, and they exchanged the truth for a lie. But in the end, he says that all nature praises and waits for the return of God. Just go out and take a look. We've had some awesome sunsets this week with the monsoons coming, the different clouds in the skies. It's all God. I get emotional these days at TV commercials. Little babies looking up at their mothers. Those little innocent babies, there's God. Now you know why I think Solomon is so true in his reflection of a man's face. But many will not see God because they've not fully made up their mind, their heart, and they've opted out not to approach him with a pure heart. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 10 when he instructed Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to love him and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul and keep the Lord's commandments. Pursue the goal, whatever it takes to see Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Revelations 21, verses 3 and 4, 3 through 5. Jesus gives us a glimpse of heaven and God on the throne, where we'll be pure and holy. Now, if you're not in the right relationship with God, you really need to be. You want to see God because the alternative is death. We're looking for the blessed hope of his appearing. We're looking for his return. Well, how do I do that? Well, in Matthew 16:16, Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized can be saved." Give God a pure heart. Turn it over to him today. As David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit in me." Please take out your songbooks and turn to the song that was selected. If you have a need this morning, you should come forward. If you have a need and you're a Christian here, and you need to lay all unrighteousness at the feet of Jesus, come forward and let us help you with prayers. Whatever the need you might have, let's put it at the foot of Jesus this morning as we stand and sing.